feel like they fit in. They were willing to go to extreme lengths and pay larger and larger and larger sums of money simply to feel that they were part of a group. But only Sylvester McMonkey McBean, the man whose machine put stars upon thars, profited from the Sneetch's desire to fit in. As with so many things, Dr. Seuss explained it best. The Sneetches perfectly captured a very basic human need, the need to belong. Our need to belong is not rational, but it is a constant that exists across all people in all cultures. It is a feeling we get when those around us share our values and beliefs. When we feel like we belong, we feel connected and we feel safe. As humans, we crave the feeling and we seek it out. Sometimes our feeling of belonging is incidental. We're not friends with everyone from our hometown, but travel across the state and you may meet someone from your hometown and you instantly have a connection with them. We're not friends with everyone from our home state, but travel across the country and you feel a special bond with someone you meet who is from your home state. Go abroad and you form an instant bond with other Americans you meet. I remember a trip I took to Australia. One day I was on a bus and I heard an American accent. I turned and struck up a conversation, and I immediately felt connected to them. We could speak the same language, understand the same slang. As a stranger in a strange city, for that brief moment, I felt like I belonged. And because of it, I trusted those strangers on the bus more than any other passengers. In fact, we spent time together later. No matter where we go, we trust those with whom we are able to perceive common values or beliefs. Our desire to feel like we belong is so powerful that we will go to great lengths or do irrational things, even spend money, to get that feeling. Like the Sneetches, we want to be around people and organizations who are like us and share our beliefs. When companies talk about what they do and how advanced their products are, they may have appeal, but they do not necessarily represent something to which we want to belong. But when a company clearly communicates their why, what they believe, and if we believe what they believe, then we will sometimes go to extraordinary lengths to include those products or brands in our lives. This is not because they are better, but because they become markers or symbols of the values and beliefs we hold dear. Those products and brands make us feel like we belong, and we feel a kinship with others who buy the same things as us. Fan clubs started by customers are often formed without any help from the company itself. These people form communities, in person or online, not just to share their love of a product, but to be in the company of people like them. Their decisions have nothing to do with the company or its products. They have everything to do with the individuals themselves. Our natural need to feel like we belong also makes us good at spotting things that don't belong. It's a sense we get, a feeling, something deep inside us, something we can't put into words that allows us to feel how some things just seem to fit and how some things just don't. Dell selling MP3 players just didn't feel right because Dell defines themselves as a computer company. So the only things that belong are computers. Apple defines itself as a company on a mission. And so anything that they do that fits that definition feels like it belongs. In 2004, they produced a promotional iPod in partnership with the iconoclastic Irish rock band U2. That makes sense. They would never have produced a promotional iPod with Celine Dion, even though she sold vastly more records than U2 and may have a bigger audience. U2 and Apple belong together because they share the same values and beliefs. They both push boundaries. It would not have made sense if Apple released a special iPod with Celine Dion. As big as her audience may be, the partnership just wouldn't align. Look no farther than Apple's TV commercials. I'm a Mac, and I'm a PC, for a perfect representation of who a Mac user needs to be to feel like they belong. In the commercial, the Mac user is a young guy, always in jeans and a t-shirt, always relaxed and always with a sense of humor, poking fun at the system. The PC, as defined by Apple, is in a suit, older, stodgy. To fit in with Mac, you have to be like Mac. Microsoft responded to Apple with its own I'm a PC campaign, which depicts people from all walks of life identifying themselves as PC. Microsoft included many more people in their ads, teachers, scientists, musicians, and children. As one would expect from the company that supplies 95% of the computer operating systems, to belong to that crowd, you have to be everyone else. One is not better or worse. It depends on where you feel like you belong. Are you a rabble-riser or are you with the majority? We are drawn to leaders and organizations that are good at communicating what they believe. Their ability to make us feel like we belong, to make us feel special, safe, and not alone, is part of what gives them the ability to inspire us. Those whom we consider great leaders all have an ability to draw us close and to command our loyalty. And we feel a strong bond with those who are also drawn to the same leaders and organizations. Apple users feel a bond with each other. Harley riders are bonded to each other also. Anyone who is drawn to hear Dr. Martin Luther King give his famous I Have a Dream speech, regardless of their race, religion, or sex, stood together in the crowd as brothers and sisters, bonded by their shared values and beliefs. They knew they belonged together because they could feel it in their gut. Gut decisions don't happen in your stomach. The principles of the Golden Circle are much more than a communications hierarchy. Its principles are deeply grounded in the evolution of human behavior. The power of why is not just opinion, it's biology. If you look at a cross-section of the human brain from the top down, you see that the levels of the Golden Circle correspond precisely with the three major levels of the brain. The newest area of the brain, our Homo sapien brain, is the neocortex, which corresponds with the what level. The neocortex is responsible for rational and analytical thought and language. The middle two sections, how and why, comprise the limbic brain. The limbic brain is responsible for all of our feelings, such as trust and loyalty. It is also responsible for all human behavior and all our decision-making, but it has no capacity for language. When we communicate from the outside in, when we communicate what we do first, yes, people can understand vast amounts of complicated information, like facts and figures, but it does not drive behavior. But when we communicate from the inside out, when we start with why, we're talking directly to the part of the brain that controls decision-making, and our language part of the brain allows us to rationalize those decisions. The part of the brain that controls our feelings has no capacity for language. This is the disconnection that makes putting our feelings into words so hard. We have trouble, for example, explaining why we married the person we married. We struggle to put into words the real reasons why we love them, so we talk around it or rationalize it. She's funny. She's smart, we say. But there are lots of funny and smart people in the world, but we don't love them, and we don't want to marry them. There is obviously more to falling in love than just personality and competence. Rationally, we know our explanation isn't the real reason. It is how our loved ones make us feel. But those feelings are really hard to put into words. So when pushed, we start to talk around it. We may even say things that don't make any rational sense. She completes me, we might say, for example. What does that mean?